Tomorrow marks the 100th birthday of a musician nicknamed Bean for his brains, or simply Hawk. Coleman Hawkins was called the father of the tenor saxophone. His influence touched everyone who followed him, from Ben Webster to Sonny Rollins to John Coltrane. From New York, Tom Vitale has this tribute.
Coleman Hawkins will forever be remembered for his 1939 recording of Body and Soul, a 3-minute tune in which Hawkins never played the melody on his tenor, he only improvised. In a 1956 interview recorded by Bill Grauer and released on Riverside Records, Hawkins claimed that Body and Soul was nothing special. It was a break song he used to get off the stage at a club called Kelly's Stable on 52nd Street. He said he went into the studio and recorded the number in a single take, and record producers never let him forget it.
The studios kept on telling me, do another one like Body and Soul. I said, do another one like Body and Soul. I said, I made 100 of those. I made 100 of them just like Body and Soul. I said, it don't mean nothing. I said, don't you understand what it is? It just so happened that at the right time, and it just caught on with the right people, and that's all it was to it. I mean, it's just it's a lucky thing. That's what that is. So it couldn't be anything else.
Hawkins may have thought Body and Soul was a lucky accident, but jazz critics recognize it as a masterpiece.
It's just one of those rare, perfect records.
Dan Morgenstern knew Coleman Hawkins in the 1950s and 60s and writes about him in his new collection of essays, Living with Jazz. Hawkins was born on November 21, 1904, in St. Joseph, Missouri. His mother was a church organist, and as a child, Coleman studied piano and cello. For his 9th birthday, his parents gave him a tenor saxophone.
The saxophone, in general, the tenor saxophone, was not a highly developed instrument for soloing when Hawkins first came into view. And even in the very beginning, and he started recording when he was still in his teens, practically, and he wasn't musically highly developed, but he already had a great facility on the instrument and a great sound. Then, from then on, he just managed to do something with that instrument that nobody had ever done before.
Coleman Hawkins was also the first saxophonist to explore the romantic side of the tenor in ballads. Hawkins' ballad playing was inspired by his lifelong interest in classical music, according to his two surviving children, Colette and Renee.
At home, he listened to classical music. He did it throughout our lifetimes. And I think he brought a lot of that into his music.
If you listen to his music, I mean, my father was a romantic. You hear the romance in him, and the romance goes back to the classics.
We made 10 albums. We never rehearsed.
Drummer Eddie Locke played with Coleman Hawkins from 1958 until Hawkins died in 1969.
One of the things we did was the Love Song from Apache, that movie. Coleman had never seen that music. That was music. It was a score from the movie. Burt Lancaster was in that movie. They played that so beautiful. People thought we rehearsed that for months. Never.
The band may not have rehearsed, but Locke says playing with Hawkins was an around-the-clock musical education.
When we weren't working, we were at his apartment all night talking about music. I never forget Roland Hanna's wife. She thought we were up there with women. Because how could all these men stay up all night, every night together like that, to 3 and 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning? So he brought her up there one time, just so she could see that there was never no women.
Long before Coleman Hawkins arrived in New York, he studied music relentlessly. He said one of his most fruitful experiences was joining Fletcher Henderson's orchestra.
Fletcher, and I'd hear somebody playing something, or I'd hear something that sounded good, because there was a lot of good musicians throughout all around the country at the time, and a lot of good little bands. It was playing like mad. Well, we'd come back in New York, and I'd come up with this, I got some new riffs. Fellas in the band, they didn't even know where I got them from, because they didn't hear, they never heard them. They'd be out trying to have a ball someplace. They'd out looking for chicks and things, you know what I mean? So I was finding places where I could hear me some music, because that's all I liked, you know?
Hawkins left the Henderson Band in 1934 and went to Europe for 5 years, where he performed as a featured soloist with small groups and symphony orchestras. When he returned to New York, he was the first established swing-era musician to record with the young players pioneering the new sound called bebop. Dan Morgenstern says Hawkins not only had a remarkable sound and facility on the saxophone, he had a great ear.
He had an impeccable harmonic sense, and he was way ahead of the pack. And that was also what enabled him to understand and appreciate bebop when it came around. He was the first and for a long time the only major established musician who understood Thelonious Monk. Hired Monk when he was totally unknown, brought him to 52nd Street in his band, and everybody was saying, "Why have you got that weird piano player? You know, what's that?" You know, and Coleman would say, "Listen, listen."
Coleman Hawkins said his lifelong study of music enabled him to transcend styles and play with anyone. He never practiced. He just listened and played, and he could hear when it was good.
Wherever there's good musicians, you'll always find me. And you see, I don't think about music in the way that other people think about it, I guess. Like, for instance, I don't think about music as being new or modern. I don't know. You just play.
Coleman Hawkins played until the very end. His final performance came from a wheelchair in Chicago. He died 3 months later in New York on May 19, 1969. Hawkins is among the first 14 inductees in the new Jazz Hall of Fame at Lincoln Center. For NPR News, I'm Tom Vitale in New York.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.